Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke's gospel, from the 15th chapter, as we read the first 10 verses. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This man welcomes sinners. Eats with them. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes were saying about Jesus. So how does that strike you? What do you hear in those words this morning? Are they words of complaint and disagreement? Or are they words of hope and invitation? At one level, the scribes and the Pharisees are simply stating a fact. That's what Jesus did. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. Fact. Not only does Luke tell us this, but Matthew and Mark do as well. But on another level, it's an accusation, it's an indictment, a judgment. In the eyes of the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus is guilty of violating the law and social norms. At the deepest level, though, their words are ironically enough, a proclamation of the gospel. They have just spoken the words of good news. Jesus not only welcomes sinners, he eats with them. Eating with them means that there is relationship. Jesus has aligned himself with them. All through the gospel, Jesus chooses to hang out with the wrong people. That's why in today's gospel, the tax collectors and the sinners have flocked to hear Jesus. He has offered them something that nobody else would. And it's why the scribes and the Pharisees were grumbling. Jesus, once again, was breaking the law, crossing the lines, and making God just a little too readily available. I wonder if the fact that Jesus chooses to hang out with the wrong kind of people is why we might not hear these words of the scribes and Pharisees: "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," as good news. The difficulty for most of us is that we don't see ourselves as the wrong kind of people. To the contrary, we try to be the right kind of people. We work hard at being the right kind of people. Yeah, there are times that we say and we do the wrong things, and sometimes we are guilty, but generally we behave and we do what's right, or at least we try to. We say the right things, we do the right things, we love our families, we're honest in our business dealings, we're kind and we're friendly, we work hard to provide for our families and to help our friends. We support our troops and salute the flag. We go to church. We pray our prayers. We care about the poor and the needy. We donate time and money and food and clothes to those in need. And I'm not saying that we need to stop all that. I'm not saying that we need to work to become the wrong kind of people to earn Jesus' acceptance. I'm just saying we need a different starting point. The starting point for Jesus, you see, is grace. Searching, not blaming. Finding, not punishing. Rejoicing, not condemning. The first question for Jesus is not, what is their sin? The first question for Jesus is not who is in and who is out, or who gets the invitation to dinner. You see, for Jesus, everybody is already in. Everyone is invited. The first question and the primary concern of Jesus is the concern of presence. Who's missing? Who's missing? A lost sheep. A lost coin. He's not blaming the sheep. He's not blaming the coin for getting lost. His concern is that the sheep and the coin must be found. They must be returned to their rightful place. Now, there's no doubt that we can be lost in the darkness of evil. We can and we have throughout human history done terrible things to one another. The tragic events of this past week and the anniversary marking the events of 9/11 have been a painful reminder of that. But here's the deal. We can also be really good and really lost at the same time. We can be good, we can be hardworking and successful, and still feel lost without a sense of purpose or direction. We can be holding it all together and still be lost in the depths of grief or despair. We can have a good reputation and still be lost in questions of our own identity and place in the kingdom of God. We can be so busy and so productive that we are lost to the beauty and the wonder and the mystery of life. Jesus has enlarged the definition of sin. He's expanded the purview of grace. The scribes and the Pharisees want to make it about the character of the sinners and the tax collectors. And that's what happens whenever sin is defined as a behavior or a legal category. Jesus is making this all about God's character. That's the point of these two parables. They're not talking about the character of the ones who were lost. They're talking about the character of God, about God's grace, about God's way of being toward us, revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ. That grace That character is one of searching and finding and rejoicing. That's who God is. That's who Jesus came to model and to show us how to live with and among each other. Ultimately, that means there is a place set for each of us at the table of God. We matter. You matter to God. You are desired by and important to God. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them and is constantly searching for us, finding us, and rejoicing over our presence back where we belong. And I, for one, am grateful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.